The Dharmalars. F-bombing the internet one episode at a time. Episode 4-6. The Other Woman.
I'm not going to take a picture of myself recording anymore. If I can't get a picture that's not blurry, then fuck it. Fuck the picture. Like, the one picture I got that wasn't blurry, I'm pulling a stupid face. Also known as my regular face. And for some reason now when I take pictures, they're sorting them, like, not in the order they were taken. I think it's because I'm in March now? I don't know. Here's the one. Here's the least blurry picture, and I look like a fat drunkard.
Wow.
Which is me 3 hours from now.
My eyes must be really blurry all the time, then.
Ah, burn on me. Burn on me. Burn all my love. So we're taking a while to get into it. We don't want to get into it.
You want to explain it? You want to explain it? Here, you take a drink of out of your pink cut, and then I'll explain to it. But now you're finished. Shit got fucked.
Wait, you can explain it while I'm drinking, like I'm a ventriloquist. And now Ralph will explain what happened with the podcast while I drink a beverage.
You guys are probably like, Dharmalars, you're a bunch of cocksmokers. You're supposed to put this shit up on Fridays.
Yeah.
Well, we did it.
We didn't.
And there's a good reason.
No, there isn't.
We recorded this. we recorded a podcast Friday night, as per usual.
It was a great show.
It was probably our best show ever. As you can tell from this conversation, you aren't listening to that great show.
Well, they can tell it's not the best show ever already.
Well,
it could go places.
The fact that we're talking about it was a great show
means that
it disappeared.
That's true. If you can figure out the context clues.
I don't know how many people use GarageBand, but when you hit the stop record button, the slider that tells you where you are in the timeline continues to go. So what you do is you press the play button in order to stop it. Well, this time when we pressed the play button, not only did it stop it, everything got deleted.
It just disappeared.
Yeah.
It went away. I just opened the paper, and there it wasn't.
So
here we are outside.
We're outside of Ben's house in
the
backyard.
It's a beautiful day.
We're not exactly thrilled to have an hour-long discussion that we already had, but...
Yeah, I don't think thrilled would be the word I would use, but...
Do you want to talk about some of the stuff we missed, or that the listeners missed?
Yeah, we could talk. Well, they missed everything.
Yeah, we could do some highlights, like we talked about vaudeville.
We did talk about vaudeville. I was telling a joke from an old Dr. Demento tape, and Ralph asked if I had been in vaudeville.
And then
I said that I got the hook 30 years ago and I never looked back. And then it came up later. that is not an abortion joke, Ryan.
Yes, Ryan.
You crude person who said that and then allowed me to say it, but now I can have righteous indignation. You're so crude. And then later on it came up again. Like I said, I toured the Catskills with someone. I don't remember.
We talked about heartbeats.
That's right.
God, you guys missed out on so much good stuff.
Because
I talked about how an old blog from 3 years ago where I mentioned that Jay and Jack weren't as nerdy as the transmission.
Yeah, he had this old blog like 3 years ago that was like Mr. Ralph Gefelter. Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Steve.
Oh, no,
that's more of like a notebook than a blog.
What else?
We talked about stuff.
I don't even remember.
The Catskills one was fun because I talked about like the skills of a cat, like maybe that's what Catskills were. And then you mentioned heartbeats, and I said, "Oh, did someone kill a cat in that one? Catskill?
Someone, a crime buster kills a raccoon, and they think a bear is a camel."
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
that's something.
They apparently program robots to be fucking morons.
That sounds viable. I think that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I prefer morons to self-aware and Terminators.
Go watch Terminator. Anyone. Pick any Terminator movie your favorite. Which one?
T2.
Okay. What's your least favorite?
T3.
Okay. Go watch T3.
Okay.
And then after, watch Heartbeeps, and let's see what your statement is on that. Because I'd rather live in a world where I get murdered by robots than live in a world
where you have to watch Heartbeeps.
Where I have to see Heartbeeps robots interact.
I'd rather be murdered by robots than watch that film. That's Ralph's review.
I would.
That's better than Shit Sandwich. That's a good review.
If I was standing in the field where Val and Aqua are standing, I would pray to God that a Terminator would come up behind me and shoot me in the brain.
Dear Lord.
Actually, I would prefer it to shoot me in the face so I could see it coming, to know that release is happening. That
also,
the ending is...
Also, for the couple of seconds that all you're seeing is a gun and a bullet coming at you, you're not watching Heartbeeps anymore.
Exactly.
So you get early release, even.
Yeah.
I've never seen that film, and...
Hey, you're from Terminator 3! Over.
Goodbye!
Cut to black.
Is that Tony Randall in Terminator 3? Is he one of the Terminators? Hey, you're Tony Randall! One of the Terminators. I'm watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Okay?
I'm watching Bosom Buddies.
Oh, well, you win. I'm watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and there are like a million Terminators. Like they all look different. They haven't even shown like the same model twice.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me wonder, like, what's the deal with the Arnold one showing up all the time in the movies?
Find one that's a familiar face.
I will.
Which doesn't work in Terminator 2 because she's scared shitless of that one.
Yeah.
But
it works perfectly in Terminator 3. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a familiar face for John, but that would be the one I would not want to send to Sarah Connor.
You're Sarah Connor?
Yeah.
You're the one that's going to fuck with your brain.
Hey, Sarah Connor, remember that guy that really fucked you up and killed that dude you fell in love with? Here he is again!
To protect your son.
Aren't you stoked? She was already crazy. That couldn't have helped.
Yeah.
I talked about getting a dog, and Ryan thinks that I am irresponsible because my dog ran away one time.
Dog names that we came up with? Stupid Face.
Stupid Face.
Tail.
Reprieve? Well, that was one of them.
I don't remember.
I don't remember why.
I
was telling Matt earlier in regards to Watchmen.
Yes.
We looked at the stills online.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the one of Ozymandias, or he says Ozymandias. I've never heard it out loud, so I don't know how it's pronounced.
I guess we'll see in the movie.
I thought that for a long time, I thought that that'd be a cool dog name because when he's a puppy, you could quote the Ozymandias poem, which is like a famous ancient like inscription or whatever. I am Ozymandias, king of kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. That'd be a cool thing to say when a puppy ruins your shoe.
Yikes.
If I was feeling mighty and very nerdy,
Ryan,
I might indicate a thing like
Ryan,
that.
Ryan, did this track get deleted yet? Or
oh, please.
Oh, no.
It's one of my patented, tangents.
You turned our podcast about Lost into something nerdy.
I know. I'm so sorry.
How did that happen?
Unexpected.
We're nerds now. We're just because of that.
That was the only reason.
Not because of the doing a podcast.
We talked about your midnight opening.
Yeah.
Of your bunghole.
I remember.
It wasn't that great. Well, the midnight opening wasn't that great.
Yeah.
It was like three people, you said. And you rang a credit card.
I ran a credit card.
Good for you.
So, and then we talked about Lost.
Yeah. So
and
let's.
And then it was awesome. So let's take it away to Jimmy in Seattle.
No.
Are we really going to do this again?
We're going to do a section.
Okay.
We're going to do a section.
We'll do it. This is going to be our first recap episode where we recap,
our
episode.
We
do. Okay. All right. Let's do that.
We're going to talk about Lost, episode 4X05, The Other Woman. It's very stressful
six?
Being another, Jack.
Five?
It could six. Be six.
Is it six?
Ryan? Ryan says, go fuck a Fino.
No, it's six. It was episode six.
Wow, so we're already six in.
Wait, we had beginning of the ends.
Yes.
The one with the confirmed dead.
Confirmed dead.
Side kills people.
Right.
Kate does her shit, and then the constant. So, yeah, this is six.
This is six. Wow, okay. 4X06. The Other Woman.
The Other Woman refers to the other woman being Julia because she's, quote, an other.
Yes.
And also because she's the other woman in a relationship.
That's right. She's screwing some chick's husband.
Two relationships.
And Ben is hot for her.
Oh, yeah.
Ben is hot for teacher if Juliet was a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, if you can follow the analogy.
What about Ralph?
Oh,
you're talking about the Ben on the show?
The Ben on the show, yeah.
Yeah, the Darmalars, yeah.
Ben, yeah, Ben the Ben on the Darmalars. He's hot for teacher. I got to tell you, sometimes, I mean, I understand the concept of other of fictional characters having my name, but there does get to a point when they say the name Ben so many times on Lost that I'm just like, that's my name. Stop saying my name. You're going to wear it out.
Wait till Ralph joins the crew on the island.
If there's a Ralph, that'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
And a producer, Ryan.
And then they'll think that people will listen to the podcast. Ooh, this must be official from the actors.
For the actors.
Ben and Ralph.
Yeah, I'm Ben Linus and you're Ralph. Ralph Widmore.
Michael Emerson and some rando from the freighter.
Yeah. That's the inside man. The inside man of the boat isn't Michael. It's you.
It's Ralph.
It's Ralph Mouth.
Ah, Donnie Host.
He keeps...
Donnie Host.
Yeah, Donnie Host. It's Most. as in Graf versus Most.
Graf. This sounds like a tennis match between Steffi Graf and...
And Happy Day star Donnie Host. It's Most. That's one of like two or three times.
Again.
He breaks character like that a couple times. Like when Jesse calls Michael
Opie.
He
better watch his mouth.
Yeah. And then when they talk about Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Nobody was making fun of Andy Griffith. I can't stress that enough. Those were all Arrested Development jokes, which you should know by now.
That's what we should do.
An Arrested Development podcast?
No, right now.
Oh, just do Arrested Development jokes? Oh, go watch it. Turn off the show and go watch it. Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Here's one thing that I didn't get to bring up.
This is probably the worst place to come for Lost information right now.
Honestly, guys, I mean, as much non-recapping as we do still sometimes theorize, but at this point, I don't know if we're going to theorize. Also, I didn't like the episode.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing we talked about.
I didn't have much to say about it.
And me and Ryan liked it.
Yeah, Ralph and Ryan liked it.
I'm afraid for next week where you and Ryan liked the episode and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
The thing that I was going to bring up was Jin. The two people from the boat go into the jungle. And Jack asks Jin, you know, why didn't you stop them? And he's like, you said they were friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're fucking right, Jack. You can't expect Jin to be all paranoid like you if you don't give him the info.
Yeah, he's still, I don't know why. He's almost like Anna Lucia, like with Nathan.
Yeah.
Like, why did you take a 2-hour bathroom?
Yeah, exactly. He's like super paranoid. And the whole reason he has this group of people separate from the people that are with Locke is because his whole premise is these people are on the boat to save us. We're going to get rescued, and I'm going to get you all rescued.
Yeah.
And that was a rough moment for him. For like, oh, duh. By the way, I don't think that anymore, but I haven't told you people because I'm your leader. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Ben.
Yeah.
Because Ben doesn't give a lot of info to his people.
And he's blurry and drunk. And was he a little fat?
Oh, yeah, fat and drunk.
Oh, Ben on the show.
Yes. The Darmalars.
Yeah, the Darmalars.
He's blurry and fat.
We'll talk about Pee-wee Herman. Okay, talk about Pee-wee Herman.
You do it. I've said a lot of
I've
things.
Already said it once.
Okay,
that's your
well,
turn to
Ralph
say.
Said that when he was watching Ben with his laundry in Other's Village, he reminded him of Pee-wee Herman coming out of Chuck's bike shop. Just Chuck's bikerama. Just so happy with himself and strutting around.
See you guys for dinner. And then Ben said something about, I forget.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Oh, Ben was saying how he was so excited. He got this great feeling about the fact that there's a new Dharma station.
I did. Like, yeah, I totally did.
And then I said.
You said it was the Tempest Bledsoe?
Yay!
That was the new Dharma station?
Yeah.
But, like, you remember, you called it the Typhoon for a long time until you remember.
For one recording.
But you said you were saying that before we started recording. You kept remembering it as the Typhoon.
No, before when I did the video thing, I called it the Typhoon, and then.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get into that in that other section.
That's a
teaser for our other section.
Oh, shit. There's something I want to bring up.
About Lost?
Oh, how did we get in this conversation? Ah, fuck.
Tempest
Bledsoe? No, this is better, dude.
Okay.
This is something that I want to recreate fully.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it because I don't know how it was set up, but it was essentially about a minute of us doing double dribble sounds.
Oh.
What started that conversation?
Oh, something. Oh, because I was so excited to see a new Dharma logo. Because that used to be my thrill in season 2 and in parts of season 3. Uh-huh. And when it finally showed up, I was like, oh, that's okay. It's just a wave.
Yeah, but Ben, the wave in the Dharma logo looks just like the wave logo from the LA Waves on Double Dribble.
Oh, well, that's cool then.
Double Dribble.
Double Dribble.
Squeak, 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 squeak. Hump ball. And then we moved on to Blade the Steel.
Yeah.
With the pass. With the pass.
What's the other one they say in Blades of Steel? There's one like...
With the pass.
There's another one. There's like about a power play or... And then I said, are there any sound effects in Super Bowl? In Tecmo Bowl?
No.
But they're hot cheerleaders. But they're hot cheerleaders.
Oh, guys.
And exploding high fives. If I could do a Tecmo Bowl high five in real life...
Like oh, with the little explosion that's the same color as your jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Only so many colors.
Oh, I'd be the happiest boy on earth. We should just hold snaps like those snaps you get at the 4th of July
in our hands,
and then
smash each other's hands. Yes. And scar ourselves for life.
I can't see a problem. I can't see any.
Our hands would
problem.
Be like Johnny Depp's hands in Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Check out that reference from 1999.
And then we said, go get yourselves a virtual console and download all those games because they're awesome.
Yeah.
Tecmo Bowl, Blades of Steel.
A noble dribble. Oh,
I
yeah.
I kept saying drop the paw. Drop the paw.
Dong.
Oh, that's when you brick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From half court. When you jump in the air, press back and forth really quick, and then let the ball go right before your feet touch the ground. It's so fucking funny because your feet and arms are so pointy, and you look like an idiot.
Is there any legal issue with us doing a video blog? Like behind the shoulder shot with the laptop as we play Double Dribble.
I don't know.
Let's do a whole video blog of you and me playing Double Dribble against each other.
Okay, and then we'll. I don't know what.
And then I'll win.
We should just go play Double Dribble. So this is how it went yesterday, and I said, "Anyway, lost."
Oh yeah. Anyway, lost. The fight. We were coming up with names for the fight because it wasn't the Rumble in the Jungle.
Oh, yeah.
It was the confrontation in the power station.
And I said it was the ass something.
I can't remember any of the other ones.
In the gas station. What was it?
The ass smashing and the gas stashing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, man. It was so awesome.
It was great. It was the best show ever. So Faraday renders all the gas inert by typing buttons in the keyboard.
Yeah.
That's something that apparently you could do, is hack into gas and make it not poisonous.
It's
a mixture. So if he mixes it in the right order, the right time.
It's like Die Hard 3.
Oh, well, if you just said, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a binary solution. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I like
Remember
Die Hard
3 when he had the thing in his arm and he pulled it out of his teeth? To pick the lock.
Yeah, dude. He got so fucked up in that movie.
Yeah. And he cut that guy in half with a wire.
I think Die Hard 3 in some ways is better than Die Hard 4.
I haven't seen Die Hard 4.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I remember you didn't go see with us, but I would assume by now you would have caught up.
No, there's like a rated R version. There's an unrated version that I want.
Oh, and you're waiting for that.
But it's not on Blu-ray.
Ah, that's frustrating.
I'll buy the unrated version on Blu-ray, like
when it comes out.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. In a heartbeat?
Yes. Dude, Val... Or, no, is it Phil? Looks just like Wally, kind of.
Wall-E.
I hope that, like, in the junk pile in Wally, there's, like, some remnants of heartbeeps. A Philco radio. And
Ron Popeil's head in a jar. Ralph, if you were tied up to Samuel L. Jackson, and there was a screen of heartbeeps in front of you, mm-hmm. and you had a piece of wire in your shoulder, would you take it out with your teeth and poke your eyes out?
No, because I still have to listen. Well, the music's great in Heartbeeps.
Oh, well, sure.
John Williams. Speaking of great music, let's give it over to Jimmy. We should talk about Lost. But seriously, guys.
Nice try.
If you guys haven't seen Lost, it was a great episode for me and Ryan.
And it's so episode for me. I mean, there was some stuff. Jack and Juliet kissed.
Oh, we talked about Jack and Juliet kissed, and I noticed a variation on Jack's theme, which was more romantical.
Okay.
I noticed also musically that in when Faraday was typing in the buttons, I heard that same six-note motif that I mentioned last week's during the Lost Core.
Okay.
And then also we talked about Jacob's List a little bit.
Yeah. Before we get to Jacob's List, I'll just touch on that theme. And my take on it is it's people that are opposed to the people we think of as the others. Because you said it played in the Dharma films.
Yeah.
The others obviously massacred all of Dharma. And now that Widmore's coming in, granted, he's not the same as Dharma. He doesn't have the same maybe hippie ideal. He might
Widmore
be.
May have been, you know, may have been a
he could have been
funding
like a shareholder in Hanzo at the time. Definitely, yeah. Or it's just the idea between for me of the two forces of the people that want to just keep the island and just like be stewards of it, and the people that want to exploit the island. And Dharma, as scientific
we don't,
as they were,
we
were
know that they're part of Widmore. We don't know that they're not related to Dharma.
That's true.
But Michael Giacchino is definitely pointing us in the direction that they are affiliated with Dharma.
Okay. Well, I was saying that it doesn't have to be affiliated with Dharma. It could be similar goals.
Yeah. You know. But musically, the music
Dharma.
In the Dharma videos and films is played every time the freighter people are around.
I'll accept that.
So,
and music, then
it could be Michael Giacchino's theory, for all we know.
That's true.
You
know?
I mean,
he
I don't
probably
know
doesn't
how much,
know.
I don't know how much he knows ahead of time, but yeah.
So then Jacob's list. The idea that Goodwin and Ethan were sent out to make lists,
yeah.
And then Ben referred to them as Jacob's list. And I was saying that maybe Jacob has like a master list of who's good and who's bad.
For
and it
the
was
entire
just
history of
for
the
island. Entire history of the island, from the beginning of the island till the end of time. And it's their job to check who these people are and
see
if
any of
the
names
list.
Match up.
Yeah. And then you were talking about, go ahead and talk about what you said about Ben and the kind of people he's looking for.
It seems like the kind of people Ben is looking for are people who aren't like strong-minded. Like
not too willful.
Yeah.
Not too rebellious.
Yeah. It's like the only reason he takes Jack, Kate, and Sawyer is to manipulate Jack.
Right.
To get his surgery done.
The only four people they take from the fuselage, which to me seems like a small minority considering they took almost half of the tail section.
Mm-hmm.
They took like a tenth of the fuselage section, and three of them were all about his tumor.
Yeah.
None of them were to be added to the others. Like,
other than Claire.
Right. And Claire was about the pregnancy.
Yeah.
She wasn't on the list or anything. It was because they needed to study her pregnancy.
And you said essentially he's looking for sheep.
He's looking for sheep, yeah.
And
he had to take Juliet, even though she's not a sheep, mm-hmm. he had to take her because he had a specific reason to have her.
But I wonder why he wouldn't take Hurley.
He had to take Hurley to have him go back as
no,
a message.
No, but why initially?
Initially? Why wouldn't he take Frogert or Stripesy? Like, it seems odd to me that no one from the fuselage was important enough to try to take.
Hmm.
I don't think the kids are on the list necessarily. I think they just take all kids.
Yeah.
Because they can have a better life with houses and plumbing than they can, you know, in the jungle. But
and because they can't make their own kids.
Right. Right, exactly. And he's facing a population problem, so he has to keep doing that. And he can't, like, my other thought is, well, if they're taking kids because they can't live there, and he has contact with the outside world, why not just rescue these people? Well, obviously, he can't draw attention to the island.
Mm-hmm.
That would fuck things up.
Yeah.
So I think, oh, and I mentioned that I thought John Locke was stupid for falling for Ben's shit again.
Uh-oh, John Locke.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, you got to talk about your favorite shit. But I was disappointed in him. Like, Ben shows him a tape. He taped over the game. Which, by the way, when he showed Jack that tape, I didn't realize that Ben must be pretty powerful indeed to have express written consent from Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
To record that game. Yeah. Dude's connected.
And he's got it on beta.
Yeah, or 5-inch.
Pneumatic?
What? Pneumatic?
What's U-matic?
U-matic.
Maybe.
He's got it on a Viewmaster, Ryan's saying.
Yeah.
The game was on a Viewmaster. okay, so talk about further instructions, dude.
Yay, further instructions. My
See?
Favorite episode.
It's all coming
talk
back.
About. In this episode, I noticed that Locke's head was clean shaven, which means he's actually maintaining a bald look.
Yes, he hasn't gone fully bald. He's still pattern bald, but he's shaving too bald.
Yes.
For fashion or to look more badass.
So when he gets off the island, he can let himself go and not shave that part of his hair.
Therefore, the fact that Locke has hair in further instructions is not proof that the off-island parts of that story take place before the island.
And also I mentioned that his scar was not as is not as prominent in these episodes than they have been in the past.
Like in the beginning. Therefore,
so it might be a scar that's fading away.
Scars can fade.
So,
yep. So further instructions, you know, Ralph's theory is that it's much like these episodes we've gotten a lot this season where the so-called flashbacks take place after the crash.
Yeah.
So look at it with that in mind and see what you think. And if they don't resolve it by the end of the season, what are you going to do?
I'm going to Comic-Con and I'm asking a specific question to make Damon and Carlton answer yes or no. And
boom.
Try to make it so they don't tap dance.
Boom.
So
right there.
They're good. They're good at tap dancing.
I brought up, oh yeah, when you were talking about your blog of the old, the original podcast, like back in the day,
mm-hmm.
I was saying that I was at Harmony's house watching season two, and I mentioned, why don't they make Boone out of the black box?
Oh yeah, we're talking about Scott and Steve, how we're not Scott and Steve.
We're not Scott and Steve at all.
Because their shows are way hilarious.
Way funnier.
I also told Jack G, Handsome Jack.
Yeah, Handsome Jack.
To shave his head.
Ralph says that you should shave your head because it's beautiful. Bald is beautiful. Awesome. Like
flock. I do it, and it feels good.
Ryan looks good with his hair shaved.
And there you go.
Ralph, I used to, but I'm growing my hair out to donate to cancer.
You know who
kids.
Doesn't look good with a shaved head?
No.
Jimmy.
I'll take it this time.
What else did we talk?
I'll always take Jimmy. No, we've done a good job. That's good.
Considering.
Let's find out what Jimmy in Seattle has to say about the loss score.
All right. Take it away, Jimmy, Jim, Jim.
Hello there, everybody. It's Jimmy in Seattle. Still on holiday, technically. So I'm just kind of making a little call in. I really loved this episode, The Other Woman. I thought it was extremely good. In fact, actually, I'm one of the few people who seem to like this episode actually better than the episode The Constant. The truth is, I didn't really like The Constant. But enough about that. I'm going to talk about the music. We have some big changes going on at Dharmalaz. Dharmalaz.net. Go visit there. You'll see the way things are panning out. It's kind of interesting, fun. Check it out. Way back last year, there was this very new theme that emerged. We heard it really only showpieced once. It was in the wrapping up season 3. The well-known scene when Juliet and Jack head off towards the main island. Stranger in a Strange Land, I think, was the episode. Anyway, have a listen to what we said then. It seemed pretty obvious that we had the major piece of music come out this week. I'm talking about the end scene of the episode as Jack and Juliet got on a large boat and headed off to places unknown, presumably the place Ben calls home. This was a transitional piece of music, but it really did seem to have some form of reverence. It also seemed to play a little loud, I thought. I thought they could have made it a little more subtle. I have a sense that in the future we're going to hear this music in a lot more minimalist way, possibly a cello solo. You can hear in the background piano there are small elements and variations of previous Lost themes, but this really does seem like it's going in a new direction. I'm going to stop talking now, and we can listen to it for a moment. And have a listen to the music playing right now.
These people came here to wage war against Ben. And Ben's gonna win, Jack. And when he does, you don't want to be anywhere near me.
Why not?
Because he thinks that I'm his. And he knows how I feel about you.
Here we go now.
He knows where to find me.
So I'd also like to point out, no flash-forwards for Juliet, which is a shame. And I'd also like to point out, I was kind of rooting for Jack and Juliet there. Anyway, that was just me. I'd like to mention, all our old episodes are available, and that's why I'm actually repeating a few now. Some have not been heard by nearly as many people who are listening now. And thanks for subscribing. So why not hear them again? It's technically new material, rebroadcast from the past. In the spirit of me being on break, let's dip back into that rerun of that very episode that I played earlier, because why not? It addresses a lot of John Locke's themes, it addresses the new apparent Juliet and Jack theme, it also tells you, funnily, about the Oscars of last year, and it just happens that I'm in the middle of producing a small handful of shows regarding the Oscars of this year. That's going to come up really soon. You can find that at the Ripples Dip podcast. You can also get to there through dharmalaz.net. This is Jimmy in Seattle. Whatever you're doing, hope you're well. Be good. Be safe. And namaste. Hello everyone, it's Jimmy here once again, from Seattle, with the Dharmalaz Lost Score. I just want to say hello to all our new listeners. It's really great to see so many people subscribing to us now. Thank you very, very much. A little more on that later. There's quite a bit to talk about regarding scenes on the island where the others are located for this episode, musically. And I take this opportunity to suggest that you go back two episodes to our Dharmalaz Not in Portland review, where a lot of the things we talk about and what we predicted in the musical score have, you know, tie-ins to elements of this episode. The two will go hand in hand. So that's just something to consider. But yes, there was even a new theme. Well, it has to be a new theme. It was so obvious. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. We're going to stick that on at the end of the program. So many people across the boards have been writing in about the music this week. It's nice to see so many people interested in the score. It's an integral part of the show. One thing that I did realise just the other day was that we spend so much time talking about the main themes and variations and elements and then jumping back into previous composers and influences, that we often completely forget to talk about standard, background, incidental music. And of course, a show like Lost is full of it. And that track was called Charlie's Dream from Season 2, Episode Fire and Water. But as mentioned, this is a piece of background music composed essentially just for one scene. Chances are it won't be used again. And here's another example of some incidental music which may be used from time to time but will be used to donate tension. In this case, the walkthrough between cells when Jack was transferred across with the new sheriff and got a glimpse of Juliet in her cuffs and Alex being led away.
Why don't you check on your father, sweetheart? I know he'd appreciate it.
Now take note of that piano in the background. We've got more of that coming up. Those streaky violins almost sound like doors opening and closing, squeaking. And that's not by accident.
Dr. Berg.
Mr. Alpert?
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Now, of course, this was from the episode Not in Portland.
What are you doing here?
I saw it happen on the news, and your office said you were down here. I just wanted to express my condolences in person before I went back up to Portland. This is Ethan. He's one of my colleagues. It's a pleasure to meet you.
And you will hear some background music. Streaky, eerie, atmospheric.
He was hit by a bus.
Now listen to these accents.
They say you were there when it happened. It must have been...
No,
and here.
No. In our interview... I said that I wanted him to get hit by a bus.
This is actually a theme that is being repeated.
Dr. Burke, I realize you're a little shook up right now, but this is just a tragic accident. You can't blame yourself. I don't even remember you saying
it's
that.
It's not a theme associated with a person, of course. It's associated with a situation. In this case, a tense one-on-one meeting with some strange individuals.
No, I was lying. I would have done anything to get my friends out, and turning you people against each other was my best chance of creating chaos.
And once again, we have another tense, mysterious meeting with strange individuals. It's a good piece.
Why are you lying for her, Jack?
Now remember the piano accents in the previous week? He doesn't get them. He gets a squeaky violin.
I'd like to go back to my cage now.
So there's a good example of some recurring background music, not necessarily associated with any character.
He walks amongst us, but he is not one of us. Your tattoos, that's what they say.
That's what they say. It's not what they mean.
It seemed pretty obvious that we had the major piece of music come out this week. I'm talking about the end scene of the episode as Jack and Juliet got on a large boat and headed off to places unknown, presumably the place Ben calls home. This was a transitional piece of music, but it really did seem to have some form of reverence. It also seemed to play a little loud, I thought. I thought they could have made it a little more subtle. I have a sense that in the future we're going to hear this music in a lot more minimalist way, possibly a cello solo. You can hear in the background piano there are small elements and variations of previous Lost themes, but this really does seem like it's going in a new direction. I'm going to stop talking now, and we can listen to it for a moment. I have to be honest, this is the bit where I think they got a bit carried away. I'm actually turning the volume down. A little too full for my liking, and the Dawson's Creek moment, staring at the stars falling on the eyes of Alex, the heavy sighs. I'm not entirely sure I was sold on it. Like I say, they need to pull it back. Notice there was no ending. They left us hanging. Very significant. Yes, we're almost going to certainly see that again. And, hear that again. And who knows, we don't know what it's called. Is it going to be Juliet and Jack's theme? Is it going to be the theme of the possible new leaders of the island? Who knows at this stage? But, we're going to keep our eye on that, and I hope to actually go a little more technical on it, actually, next week. Now, whilst we're talking about technicalities and technical achievements and such, it's the Oscars this week, and of course, one of the categories is Best Score for a Motion Picture. This, of course, is one of my favourite parts of the Oscars, actually. I've always been into film music, obviously. And I know lots and lots of you are going to be watching this weekend, so take a bit of note. Take a guess who you think if you've seen one of the films. Can you remember the score? I hope so. This year, your choices are Babel, The Good German, Notes on the Scandal, Pan's Labyrinth, and The Queen. I'm leaning towards Pan's Labyrinth. If you listen behind me, you're going to hear the score from the film The Lives of Others, which personally I think was my favourite musical score of the year so far. Beautiful film, nominated for Best Foreign Film. Das Leben der Anderen. Gabriel Yared, who you've heard before actually, The English Patient, he won an Oscar for. So if you want to take your girlfriend out and have a good cry, go and see the Lives of Others. Oh well. And talking about technical achievements while we're at it, I did mention earlier, we have a lot of new listeners, and we're very happy about this. And thank you so, so much for not just cracking the iTunes 100 top podcasts in entertainment and film, but we were down in the 60s the other day. This is great news. Thank you so, so much. Also a massive shout out to our friends at the Lost Initiative, Kim and Amy. They're doing a fantastic job. Dive in, listen to the hottest chicks on the podcast community, who tell us more about Lost than we do, to be perfectly honest. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Thanks, Jay and Jack, for helping us get where we are. It's been a great run. Oh, I'm talking like it's all over. Anyway, this is Jimmy in Seattle. As always, raving the last 10 minutes. I'm going to leave now. Looking forward to next week's episode. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Take care. Be good. Namaste.
Hey guys, Everything Funnels From. Okay, well, first of all, we're kind of proud to announce, so thank you, Jimmy.
But more, first of all, thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for the Lost Scorpions.
Yes.
Scorpions. The Lost Scorpions. We're proud to announce that there's been a revision on the site, so come and check out the new dharmalars.net, where Ralph and I will be posting video blogs, and hopefully some from Ryan, and possibly some from Seattle Jimmy.
Yeah, look for those immediately following the West Coast airing of Lost.
Yeah, you'll get Ralph's knee-jerk reaction. As soon as he watches the show, he'll set up iMovie and jerk his knee around a bit, and you can see that.
Yeah.
Go to dharmalars.net, and that will also link you to shopsalmonate.com, where you can purchase a Dharmalars t-shirt.
We're still waiting to get that golden ticket with your opportunity to get a chance to record with us. And hopefully it'll stay recorded.
I like that it's an opportunity for a chance.
It is.
It's an opportunity for a chance for the odds of recording with us.
Are very high.
Yeah, that'd be great. And when we run out of these shirts, and we are running out of a couple of sizes,
yeah,
Ralph is hoping to talk to Sam about coming up with a different design. So
yeah,
there might be new designs.
Be great. I think that'd be great.
If you get a shirt, wear it, and send us an email with a picture of you wearing it to dharmalars@gmail.com. Or if you don't have a shirt, send us a picture of that.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, send us any emails. We like talking to you. We answer all of our emails.
And if you'd like to not send us an email, you can give us a call at 206-338-4261 and be a part of the Dharma Line, which plays at the end of each show.
We play a lot of calls.
We do play a lot of calls.
That's your chance to be on the show. And you know what else? Another chance to be on the show is if you like singing, or if you don't like singing, record yourself a little karaoke segment and email it to us at the dharmalars@gmail.com address, and we'll play your karaoke at the end of the show. It's a fun little thing. I really like that we do that.
And this week we have an entry from Tim the Jellyman.
Huge. So thanks, Tim.
And can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. And it saves me for 1 week. So that's essentially all the info we need to give out, right?
Yeah, that's it.
What you got going on?
I forget.
Next week's going to be our special St. Patty's Day show.
That's correct.
Which we do every year, so look for the green logos again.
Yes.
And I will send Ralph some Irish quote music for him to play.
Irish quote music.
It's Irish quote music. It's all quotes from movies set to the penny whistle.
Is that an Irish thing?
The tin whistle, yeah. Hey, I
tied
it back.
Oh, no. Tied it back to something you didn't hear
yesterday. Something that never happened. So that's it.
That was a great show yesterday.
It was all right. This one's pretty good.
It was way better than this one.
What? This one has energy. This one's all right.
Because we're trying to remember things that we came up with on the spot.
Yeah.
We're way funnier than.
That's always a struggle. But we can't talk about the same show twice without trying to remember what we already said.
Squeak, squeak,
squeak. Squeak, squeak, squeak. By the way, we're recording outside. It's a beautiful day.
Hump ball. Did we mention that already? Yeah, we mentioned that already.
Yeah, you guys aren't outside on a beautiful day in sunny Southern California.
It's like 65 degrees outside. Nice breeze coming through the backyard.
Yeah.
And
up my pants. Gently breezing on my nuts.
Fancy free.
Like you do. Okay, so from all of us here at the Dharmalars, thanks to Jimmy and Ryan and Ralph. And We hope to talk to you guys next week and maybe record only once. Hasta la vista.
And I want to thank Craig for the special intro, and we'll be having more special intros with every new show we have. And I have to say, I'm Ralph, and I'm out of here. And if I were Columbo, I'd Peter Falker.
Should I talk about the Columbo?
Talk about the Columbo.
I came up with it on the cuff last time when Ralph gave that quote, but the Columbo is when you're fucking her, right? And you're about to finish, but then you leave the room. And then before you leave, you say, wait, there's just one more thing. And then you come back and come all over. That's the Columbo.
Sweet. All right, we're out of here.
Bye, Mom.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre. Calling out in LA. Listening to the podcast. Spoiler. Whatever. So the thing is, you know, I don't know what I just did. I'm for some reason, I'm pressing just random buttons or whatnot. So if I already, if this thing already came through or whatever, my last one already came through, it's, you know, disregardless. But I know y'all say every message. So I don't know if it went through or not. So just in case it didn't, I was just calling to say that about Ralph, how you came up with, how you think the series is going to end with Jack waking up on the island and knowing what he has to do. That's similar to a theory that I had, you know, a while back. Spoiler. And the reason why I'm saying spoiler is because of the book that I read, the Tower series by Stephen King. Spoiler. Because in that book, which is a great book and everybody should read, well, it's not just a book, it's a whole shitload of books. I think it's like 5 or 6 or 7 of them, I don't know. But I read all the books and I listened to all the audio, doohickeys of it. Spoiler. The way that it's a certain point, and, you know, I said this on, I guess, on a previous episode of the Dharma Line, is basically, spoiler, I hate ruining books and movies for people and stuff like that, so, you know, I promise to wrap this up in a minute, so you guys, you know, just skip over a minute if you don't want to know the end of the story starting now. So there's a part in the book where it ends and you could go on and make up whatever happens with your own imagination. But for people that just need to know every little detail, like, you know, us, that we obsess with things, then you're going to have to, you could continue to read or whatnot. And whether you perceive it as good or bad, spoiler, it just turns out that way. So this gunslinger, if he made it, spoiler, whoever made it just turns, you know, it goes through, if anybody made it, they go through a whole situation, but basically ends up this time, I'm like going through it and basically starts over a game, okay? But this time it's a little different. Every time it's a little different, you see, so, so that's it, that's all I got. I'm going to continue listening to the show. Hopefully, you know, I didn't hear me call this thing like twice. All right, leave.
Hi, guys. This is Debbie, a Lost fan, and finished listening to your latest podcast on the episode The Constant. And The Constant was a wonderful episode, but I just wanted to tell you guys, I listen to a lot of Lost podcasts, and you definitely have the drunkest audience. So yeah, it was hilarious to listen to. So have a good week, and look forward to listening to you next week.
Yo, Ralph and Ben, what's up? Michael from Kansas. Hey, buy a third mic, man. It's time to get Ryan on the podcast. I'd like to see a little bit more FaceTime, a little mic time. He's, I dig his input. Nice little counterpoint to you guys. Get a third mic.
Come alive, jeez.
Ben and Ralph, what's up, man? This is Not Penny's Boat, long-time listener, first-time caller. Listen to you guys and Jay and Jack. I wanted to tell you, the last podcast for The Constant, man, that was hilarious. That was one of the funniest shows you guys have ever done, in my opinion. Couldn't stop laughing when you were talking about Faraday, when he wrote, Desmond is my constant, Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Hume or Desmond Faraday. I thought that was hilarious. Laughing at when you said a little bit of hepatitis. Everything was just funny, man. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Thanks for not making me feel like a dork, because you guys are into everything I'm into. Comics, Lost, of course, Arrested Development, Back to the Future. Oh, and that also was funny, too, when you did the You Can't Do That on the podcast. I missed that show, man. They need to bring it on DVD. You Can't Do That on television. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'll talk long enough. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Darma Lars, Eddie from Los Angeles. Last podcast, you guys are wondering what, you know, when the auction, when they got the Black Rock Journal, wondering what the 755 that was Widmore's number that he was holding up was, or what it meant, or if it had any significance. Now, I guess some of the writers on Lost are baseball fans, and if you remember, each of the numbers, the 4 or the 8, are numbers of retired Yankees. So all the numbers are also retired by the New York Yankees. And, you know, all the Boston Red Sox references. And then I think it was in the Mobisode where it was Jin who had that Yankee shirt. Anyway, the 755, you know, if you're keeping the baseball references, Hank Aaron's home run record, which, you know, was eventually surpassed by Barry Bonds. So just want to throw that out there, get your thoughts, and cool podcast, and talk to you guys later, man. Bye.
What's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Beth calling on the whole line. Straight in L.A. This last message was great. I can't stop listening to it. If Dre touched the Dharma Lord, if he touched their hearts, like Dre just touched mine with... What the... Oh my God. If he touched their hearts, their cold hearts, like he touched mine, then I know that's what this podcast is for. I knew it. Didn't I tell you? I knew it. This is a great call. I don't... Penelope!
Hey, Ben and Ralph, this is Jared. Jared from Missouri. Just giving you guys a call, because believe it or not, this week I am drunk. That is very interesting. I've never been drunk while calling... never been drunk while calling you guys. Well, this week, I just thought I'd let you know that we went out and drank, and Mikey talked to his girlfriend and never came over. Here, I'm going to do my Mikey impersonation. Oh, I'm such a fag. I won't come over because I'm talking to my girlfriend. All right, I'll stop that. Ben and Ralph, you're great men. Jimmy in Seattle, you are the coolest guy ever. Love your segment. I hope that you're over the flu and all that. So, Kim and Amy, yeah, I know this isn't your show, but I know you still listen to it. So, guys, I need a new episode of Lost Initiative because while I do love the Malcolm Assass episode, I need some Kim and Amy. So, well, guys, Lost is awesome. We love you. And everybody on three, say that's right. One, two, three. That's right!
The Dharma Lounge.
Hello. It's Peter Corinthian here, live in Leeds for Radio Cock Show, coming out live from Dharma Lounge podcast. How are you all? A brilliant, I hear you all say. It's another edition of the Dharma Lounge where some twat sings a ridiculous song in a stupid way. And this week we've got Tim Gellerman singing Desperado by the Eagles. I think we've got Tim on other lines, so if we can have a quick chat with him before he murders this song. Tim, are you there, mate? Can you hear me, Tim? Tim, can Tim, are you there, mate? Are you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me there, Tim? Tim, hello, Tim.
Hi, Peter. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Just about. I think you can't quite get through from all the southern shite that I can hear coming through my fucking ears. Now then, you're singing this song. Why is that?
Why am I singing the song?
Yeah, why are you singing it?
Well, the reasons are twofold. One, it's one of my father's favourite songs, and also just recently I did a photo shoot for my company where I was depicting a manager committing sort of corporate suicide, the whole black suit thing, but with a gun pointed to my head. It was a clever thing done by the marketing team. I just tried to look pretty, you know what I mean?
No, I don't really know what you mean, mate, but carry on anyway.
Well, that was it, really.
All right. Well, without any further ado then, let's have a little bit of this. This is Tim Gellerman singing Desperado by the Eagles. All right. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one. I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the Queen of Diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only get the ones you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, well, freedom, yeah, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't you get your feet cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime
from the day. Losing all your highs and lows. It ain't funny how the feeling goes away. Oh yeah. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Come down from your fences. Open the gate. It may be raining, oh yeah, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you.
Let somebody love you.
You better let somebody love you before it's too late.
Thank you very much. You've been a lovely audience. Squirty Squirty Waves.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lost Podcasting Network. Get all your favorite Lost podcasts in one feed at lostcasts.blogspot.com.